Well, thankfully you didn't laugh that much with your pastor up on the screen. I heard the sniggers around the place, but that's good. That's good. And let me pray. Father God, we pray that you would speak to us tonight from your word, that we would have a heart after you, and that we would care for the poor, and we would care about alleviating poverty. We would care about making a difference to people in another part of the world. And we pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Friends, there are some events in human history that you don't forget. And last Friday, our country remembered those killed in the Bali bombing, which took place 10 years ago on the 12th of October 2002. 202 people killed, 88 Australians, part of those killed, 240 injured, and many seriously injured. And you may not be aware, but there's a memorial of that at North Cronulla Beach. And often when I'm at the beach, I force myself to walk past the memorial. I'm always attracted to it. I'm pulled towards it. And when I take other people with me who aren't from the area, I say, "Have you seen the memorial?" And so I walk towards it, and there's a rock and there's water flowing. And I don't know why I do it to myself, because there are photographs of, I think there are 6 or 7 girls from the Southern Shire who died that night. One day they were alive, the next moment they were gone. And I look at their faces and I just tear up, and I have to walk away. Every time I'm there, I move by it. We had a team in Bali 10 years ago, and maybe that's part of it. Maybe it's part of it. I guess I have my own daughters and someone else has lost their daughters. That 10 years later, you know, if they were 24, they would have been 34. And so I moved and I'm impacted, and it always hits me that I can't look at them for too long. I just feel I need to go away. I need to be there to remember, but then I'm just drawn away from it. But we moved when we hear those stories. And last year, the world stopped to remember those impacted by the 9/11 terrorist attacks. Now, 11 years ago in the United States, the planes crashed, the buildings collapsed, the rubble, the panic, the deaths, the grief, and we saw it telecast around the world. And last year, when they remembered 10 years, we're moved by that. And I was moved by that. And you don't forget. Yet on Be Love Sunday, which is today that we are remembering the poor in the world, on Be Love Sunday, my question of myself and of you is this: are you remembering, besides those events, are you remembering the quiet deaths? The ones you do not see. The ones that do not make the television screen. The ones where there are no photographs of the daughters on a memorial. Every 4 seconds, a child under 5 dies from preventable diseases. And I think, do I feel as much? Obviously, it's hard to feel as much because it's not in your face. The photographs are not there and it's not on the television screen. And I die quietly in Mozambique and Zambia and South Africa and Cambodia and throughout the world. They die quietly. Their parents notice, the community notices, but we don't. And John Piper wrote, interestingly, at their 10th anniversary, he said, "On September 11 last year, 2,823 people died in the collapse of the World Trade Towers. And on that day, at least 35,000 people died of starvation. In Africa, 1 million children died of malaria that year, 2,379 a day, while 2.3 million African people died of AIDS." Do we see it? Do we feel it? And the reality is, it is too hard to feel and to experience that. But a day like today is our chance to stop for a moment and say, "God, I want to see it, I want to feel it, I want to know what it's like in that other place where they don't have food to eat, they don't have clothes to wear, they don't have education, they don't have the hospitals we have, as much as we complain about our hospitals, they don't have them." But I want to encourage you and say that thankfully, because of your work and your contributions to the poor, because of our writing to government and because of the work of the United Nations and Australian governments and international governments in putting money into the poor, it is making a difference. It is helping to alleviate poverty. Now, poverty is still here, but we are making a difference. Let me show you some statistics. Baptist Will Aid have put out a poverty quiz, it's called. It says the question is extreme poverty declining, increasing, or staying about the same? The answer is, it is decreasing. If you look at the charts there, because of the impact of people praying and giving and serving, we're making a difference. The only one there that's not, it hasn't reduced in number, is Africa. Do you know why? Population explosion, which means even though the proportion of Africans now not living, or less people living in poverty, the proportion is down, but the numbers are higher still because of the population. Take the second question, is the number of children dying before their fifth birthday declining, increasing, staying about the same? Positive news again. Here we have a look at that chart. In 1968, 151 in every 1,000 children died before their fifth birthday, 15%. Today, that figure has dropped by almost two-thirds to 58 per thousand. But at least 6%, it's still too high. We don't want to see that happen, but things are improving. Thirdly, is the number of people without safe drinking water declining, increasing, staying about the same? Well, I said it's all positive, right? You don't have to vote on it. But if we look at the chart, more people than ever before have access to safe drinking water. That doesn't mean everyone. There's still large numbers of people who don't, but as you pray, as you give and sponsor, as you support Baptist World Aid and World Vision, Compassion, whoever it is, as you encourage governments to increase their aid budget, it makes a difference. We need to be the people who don't say in Australia, well, we should look after our own people first and not give to those overseas. No, we need to say we need to look after our own people and give to those overseas, because we live in a world, in a big world, with terrible poverty. Because the situation is still bad. Let me give you some up-to-date statistics from 2010. 8 million, we can move to the next one. 8 million children die each day before reaching their fifth birthday still. Almost all live in poor countries. 61 million children who should be in primary school are not in school. Almost all of them in poor countries. 2.6 billion of the world's people don't have access to a clean toilet, leaving them susceptible to disease. 1.4 billion of the world's people live on less than $1.25 a day, which places them in extreme poverty. $1.25 a day is just poverty. Less than that is extreme poverty. Another billion live in extreme affluence. Over 850 million of the world's people don't have enough to eat, and 800 million don't have access to clean drinking water. We've made improvements, and that's encouraging, but we need to keep up the challenge. We need to keep up the contribution. We need to keep up investing our lives in helping to alleviate poverty. The nation of Nepal is a nation that we chose last year to invest a fair bit of money into through our child sponsorship. Baptist World Aid have opened a new project in Nepal. And last year, 45 or 46 children were sponsored by people from our congregation in the nation of Nepal in the Darjeeling region. And Nepal, more than 50% of Nepalese people live below the poverty line. 40% of children are malnourished. 20% don't attend school. 70% have no access to adequate sanitation. One of the reasons we said, yes, let's focus on this country, we know the Christian mission in Nepal that's doing the work. See, Baptist World Aid partners with the United Mission to Nepal. Tim and Val Nicholson know that ministry, have worked with that ministry. They're going back for 5 weeks later this year, and they'll be able to see what is happening in that region. This morning, another 14 children were sponsored in Nepal. I asked for 20 sponsorships. And they said to me, well, listen, you took 45, 46 last year. You probably won't have anyone who want to sponsor this year. I said, just send me 20. 14 have been sponsored. Six to go. We also have 5 from the Philippines and 5 from Bangladesh if you want to expand your influence in the world. I challenge you to consider sponsoring one of those children. But why do it? Why invest your money, your time, your prayers in the poor? The Word of God says in 1 John chapter 3, we know that we have passed from death to life because we love our brothers. Anyone who does not love remains in death. Now, the principle that's talking about the Christian community there in 1 John chapter 3, but we can expand that and other passages expand that beyond the Christian community to show love to other people. And firstly, let me just, there are 3 points. Firstly, Jesus Christ, motivation, laid down his life for us. Why should I care for others? Well, the God of the universe proved his love for me and demonstrated it in the death of Christ. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Why care for others, friends? When you see the death of Christ, you think, thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Help me to love others. But unless you get the gospel, you won't give, you won't sacrifice. Jesus' new commandment says, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Love ought to characterize the Christian life. But secondly, we are called to imitate Christ's sacrificial love. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Jesus is the model. Jesus is the example. We look at him, we see him, we see his love for a sinful, rebellious humanity. We see his love not simply for a small group of people, but for the nations of the earth, and say, God, give us a love like that for the lost. And part of loving the lost means we take the food when they need to eat. We give them clothes when they need clothes to wear. Friends, we live in the Western world, an affluent world. Some are more affluent than others. A world which says you are number one, take care of yourself. Stockpile your financial resources so you can spend more on yourself. And Jesus says, give your life away. Bill Hybels writes, quoting a college professor, fulfillment never comes through self-gratification. If you really want to live, then give yourself to God and others. Devote yourself to faithful and humble service and you will discover joy. You give your life away and you give some of your money away to serve others. Mark 10, whoever wants to be great amongst you must be your servant, for the Son of Man came not to be served but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. We give because Christ has given. We give to imitate his love. But thirdly, let me say before I move to the third point, Galatians 6 verse 10 is a helpful verse. All the verses so far have been about the Christian community loving others, and you think, well, should I just send money to the Christian church overseas? This is what the Word of God says, Galatians 6. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Care for the family of believers, but do good to all people. Mark chapter 12, we read Jesus' statement about the most important commandments. He was asked, what are the most important commandments? One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, said Jesus, is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Okay, number one, put God first. Secondly, he says, side by side with that is, love your neighbour as yourself. Well said, teacher. You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbour as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. First, let me just rephrase that. To love your neighbour as yourself is more important than just coming and singing songs in church. To love your neighbour as yourself is more important than just getting the latest CD. To love your neighbour as yourself is more important than just being a youth group leader. To love your neighbour as yourself. We can add the number of things that we do, religious things and helpful things, some of those. But loving your neighbour is more important. And if you're going to love your neighbour as yourself, I thought about that earlier today when I was preaching in the morning service. I thought, I want a good education. If I'm going to love my neighbour as myself, I want to ensure that they get a good education. I like to have clothes to wear and cars to drive. I want to ensure that if I'm going to love my neighbour as myself, that they have the same options and capacity, maybe not the same things in different countries, but I want to ensure that they have clothing, they have housing, they have education, they have food, they have medical resource. If I'm going to love them as I love myself, I can't just love myself with all these blessings and just give them a little bit of love, right? You just get a little bit. I'll just have the rest of it for myself. Now, how do you do that? How do you love them? I mean, you can't give them what we have in Australia, but you can provide. To the sponsoring of one child, education, food, housing, clothing, and a hope for the future. Matthew 23 says this, Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the more important matters of law, justice, mercy, faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former. And God says to the religious ones, don't just be religious. Be concerned for justice, mercy, and faithfulness. And friends, when we see what's happening in the world, we need to step up and play our part. But thirdly, let me say, and I want to just explore this theme a little bit, care for those who are exploited, impoverished, and excluded. James chapter 1, verse 27 says this, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after widows and orphans in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Just focus on that first part. Care for the widows and the orphans. What God accepts as pure and faultless. Widows and orphans. Why widows and orphans? Why doesn't he say all the poor in this situation? Why does he focus on widows and orphans? Well, firstly, he's agreeing with what the Old Testament says. Old Testament, let me read a whole bunch of verses. Do not take advantage of the widow or the orphan. If you do, they will cry out to me and I will certainly hear their cry. When you are harvesting in the field and you overlook a sheaf, do not go back and get it. Leave it for the foreigner, the orphan and the widow, so that the Lord your God may bless you in all the work of your hands. In other words, leave some food behind. Cursed is the person who withholds justice from the foreigner, the orphan or the widow. Seek justice, encourage the oppressed, defend the cause of the orphan, plead the case of the widow. The orphans and widows are everywhere. Woe to those who make unjust laws and those who issue oppressive decrees to deprive the poor of their rights and to rob my oppressed people of justice, making widows their prey and robbing the fatherless. What is it about widows and orphans? Let me give you a modern story to help understand it. This is a widow in Zambia. It's interesting, little Grace on that video was from Zambia. Her name is Mary, and you need to understand something about the community in which Mary is a part of and which orphans and widows found themselves in Bible times as well. The property belongs, in her situation, to the adult male of the house. You got property, adult male. Women do not inherit land. Their legal rights are often ignored. They have very little power. That was certainly Mary's experience in Zambia when her husband died in 1988. Listen to what happened. Her husband's relatives came and took all the family's possessions. They took the house, they took the furniture, they took the husband's 7 sewing machines that he had used in his tailoring business, they took his bank books, and they turfed Mary out literally with nothing but her children and the clothes she was wearing. They just took everything and left her destitute. And in a society where women have very few rights and very few opportunities to earn income, Mary and her kids live in dire poverty. Friends, that was like that for a lot of the widows and the fatherless in the biblical era. And the writers of the Bible knew that the widows and the orphans were the most vulnerable people in their societies. If anyone was going to be exploited by the rich and the powerful, it was going to be the widow or the orphan, someone who didn't have a dad around to protect the child. It wasn't a husband around to protect the wife from abuse and exploitation. If anyone was going to fall into poverty, certainly going to be the widow or the orphan. Powerless, vulnerable, ready to be exploited. And God says, you make sure you look after those widows and you look after those orphans. Don't you dare abuse them. Don't you dare exploit them. Don't you dare, God's word says, look after them. So when James says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this, to look after widows and orphans in their distress, he's telling us that we are to be part of building the kind of world that God wants. And if we are going to be the hands and feet of God on earth, we need to be attentive not only to the people we live with, we need to be attentive not only to the people we work with, we need to be attentive not only to the people we play with, we need to be attentive to the people in our world who are most likely to be exploited, most likely to be trapped in poverty, most likely to be excluded. The question is, who are those people? Do you know some? Reality is there'll be some people like that in our society. The homeless, Indigenous communities, sometimes the handicapped, sometimes the mentally ill. Where the powerful people exploit them and abuse them. But friends, the bulk of the world's impoverished, exploited and excluded are not here. They're overseas in many countries in the developing world. I want to just share a few stories, but the first story, I'm going to let a little girl tell her own story. What happens when there is not the protection around her, when there's not education, when there are not families, when things go terribly, terribly wrong because there isn't the support that they need. We're calling her Chaira. That's not her real name. This is the name we're using. If we could just kill the lights, we want to play this. It goes for about a minute and a half.
ខ្ញុំអាយុ15ឆ្នាំខ្ញុំបានមើលឃើញអ្វីដែលក្មេងមិនគួរមើលឃើញសោះពេលខ្ញុំអាយុ7ឆ្នាំម៉ែខ្ញុំស្លាប់ពេលគាត់នៅរស់គាត់រកស៊ីក្រងស្បើប្រាក់ដបកផ្ទះគាត់ជាម្ដាយដ៏ល្អខ្ញុំនឹងគាត់ខ្លាំងណាស់ឪពុកខ្ញុំគាត់អត់មានសមត្ថភាពចិញ្ចឹមខ្ញុំនិងបងស្រីខ្ញុំទេនាងខ្ញុំយកពីអ្នកខ្ញុំតែចិញ្ចឹមតែគាត់ជាមនុស្សមិនល្អនោះទេគាត់យកខ្ញុំនិងបងខ្ញុំ ទៅលូឲ្យមេបនពេលហ្នឹងខ្ញុំមានអាយុត្រឹមតែ7ឆ្នាំគេដាក់យើងក្នុងបន្ទប់មួយដែលយើងមិនអាចរត់ចេញបានគេបង្ខំឲ្យពួកខ្ញុំមើលរឿងអាហារភាសដើម្បីឲ្យពួកខ្ញុំរៀនធ្វើតាមគេបង្ខំឲ្យពួកខ្ញុំមើលអ្នកផ្សេងគេជាមួយគ្នាតាមប្រហោងមួយក្នុងជញ្ជាំងបើខ្ញុំបដិសេធគេនឹងយកខ្សែភ្លើងមកឆក់ពួកខ្ញុំ ខ្ញុំនៅយល់សពឃើញរហូតដល់ឥឡូវហ្នឹងបន្ទាប់ពីខ្ញុំនៅបាន4ឆ្នាំមានអ្នកជួយរំដោះខ្ញុំឲ្យចេញពីផ្ទះបនហើយឥឡូវខ្ញុំនៅក្នុងអង្គការគ្រីស្ទានមួយខ្ញុំមានឪពុកម្ដាយចិញ្ចឹមហើយនៅបានទទួលការរៀនសូត្រដែរដល់ការនោះគេផ្ដល់ឱកាសឲ្យខ្ញុំបានជួបជាមួយអ្នកព្យាបាលផ្លូវចិត្តព្រមទាំងស្រីផ្សេងទៀតដែលធ្លាប់ឆ្លងកាត់រឿងដូចខ្ញុំដែរ យើងអធិដ្ឋានជាមួយគ្នាជួនកាលយំជាមួយគ្នាបញ្ចេញពីអារម្មណ៍ឈឺចាប់អារម្មណ៍បាក់ទឹកចិត្តនិងអារម្មណ៍សោកស្ដាយចំពោះអ្វីដែលបានកើតឡើងជាមួយគ្នាទាំងអស់នេះជួយជួយបាជិតខ្ញុំឲ្យខ្ញុំមានសង្ឃឹម
When we invest in the lives of others and provide the resources they need, we protect young girls from those situations. Or take another young Bangladeshi girl called Nissa. Desperately poor father couldn't afford to feed her or buy medicines when she was sick, so when she was 7 years old, he gave her away in marriage. When she was unable to do any of the household chores or perform sexually, her husband and mother-in-law physically tortured her and deprived her of food. Unable to take on any more, she fled to her father's home. 2 years later, he married her off again, this time to a man aged 45. A young Filipino man called James. Not as traumatic for him. James lived by the sea and in heavy storms. The house would get flooded and destroyed. They wouldn't have enough to eat. They couldn't pay for medicine and couldn't go to school. He dropped out of school, couldn't get to high school. In high school, he had to pay for his education. The parents had no money. So he began to work, a school dropout, because of the lack of funds. I want to suggest to you that these are the widows and the orphans of our age. The men, the women, the children across the developing world who are trapped in poverty, neglected at best and exploited at worst. So James says the religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after widows and orphans in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. And I have to ask myself a question: how pure is my religion? How faultless is my religion? What am I doing to look after the widows and the orphans of our age? And Baptist World Aid have identified those living in extreme poverty amongst the widows and the orphans of our age in places like Sri Lanka and Bangladesh and Cambodia and the Philippines and in Nepal. And it's been our challenge to be able to impact the whole region of Nepal so boys and girls get an education, boys and girls have food to eat, boys and girls have homes to live in, their parents are able to learn to work and to produce money to care for their children, so therefore, in time, they don't need the support.
And the Apostle John writes, if anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. Friends, when you sponsor these kids, you help create communities where little girls don't get sold into sex slavery, where seven-year-olds don't get forced into early marriage, where teenage boys don't have to drop out of high school. You help create communities in which children shine and flourish and grow and develop and take their place in the world. If you'd like to sponsor a child, maybe in Nepal, maybe in the Philippines, maybe in Bangladesh, Tim and Val were going to be in a foyer afterwards. They have the packages of the children, see what they look like. Some of you read about their story. I know many of you already sponsor children. This is not a guilt thing. Well, you've got to sponsor some more. But as you weigh it up, you think, how many am I sponsoring? Who am I sponsoring? How am I impacting the lives of children? What else can I do? Maybe you need to do it with someone else. And I know some of the teenagers last year, they got together. And because they don't earn much of an income, so they said, well, together they're sponsoring and impacting the life of a child in its community. You may do that together. You may do it with a couple of home groups together, or whatever it happens to be. I encourage you to let God speak to your heart, to be moved not simply by the tragedies of Bali and 9/11 that are on the television screens in front of you, but be moved by those quiet deaths every 4 seconds, preventable if we do something about that. What can you do? One person. I say, I'm only one person, you say. You're one person, and 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 one person in America, and that state, and Philippines, and Brazil, and Greece, and Romania, and people all over the place. And as the individuals give, as we speak to our governments, as we give our finances, and as we pray, guess what happens? Poverty is being alleviated. May God help us to play our part in this broken world for the glory of God. Dear God, Father of compassion and love and mercy, it is our prayer that our heart would be broken with the things that break your heart. Please show us injustice and oppression. Help us to see it, to feel the quiet deaths, unnecessary deaths, because of poverty. Give us eyes to see the plight of others. Please give us the courage to face our own weaknesses and at times avoidance tactics. Help us to read the magazines, to watch the television programs, to go to the websites that we need to go to, so we would see, read, and feel the pain of others. Help us, Lord, to face the risks that helping others entail. Lord, we do love and worship you. You're the Lord our God, who's made possible our salvation through the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. We've experienced an amazing love, amazing grace, amazing mercy. May we now demonstrate that love and mercy to others by proclaiming the gospel, but also helping to alleviate human need. Lord, help us to feel your heart of love and help us to love those whom you love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Friends, can I encourage you to